I don't know if Bill White is in the room. He told me I had to say this. But he was interested. I know Bill for some time, and he was responsible for the background work behind the Belfast Telegraph poll. And a poll that gave us almost 5% of the vote. 5% of the vote is almost the same as the TUV, UKIP and the Green Party put together. And it is well within reach of the UUP and the Alliance Party. And we haven't finished yet. Here is the real meaning about aspire to better, to have aspirations, to believe. It's not founded on wishful thinking. It's on serious numbers, on people that turn out to meetings like this. Because our sights are set much higher than 5%. Success is not John and I retaining our seats. Success is actually building a new Northern Ireland. And one of the things that's quite indicative about how we look at this is that the recent census report says that nearly 30% of the population see themselves as Northern Irish only. Those people have got no one to vote for. And even those people that did not tick that particular box, they will be looking at the tiring old political elite that is clearly out of its depth and unable to address the challenges of the 21st century. Our message is simple. Our message to those people is, if you are happy with the current situation, carry on. Carry on voting for whoever you are voting, or carry on not voting because it doesn't make any difference. But if you are unhappy, if you want to see change, if you believe in a better Northern Ireland, then NI21 is the party for you. It is time that we stop the silly shallying around, the photo opportunities, the sham talks about our economy is working. We need to see new, radical, different policies. We need to see people that will really govern this country and govern this country for the common good. Northern Ireland has an undersized private sector, an oversized public sector, lower wage rates than anywhere else in the British Isles, higher levels of economic inactivity and unacceptable levels of youth unemployment. And it is time somebody did something about it. Economically, Northern Ireland is facing a fight for competitiveness. Socially, we are struggling to reduce poverty and inequality. The challenge for us is how to do both in a fragile economy, an economy which is exposed to the competitive ravages of a global economy, and a global economy which allows those with skills to emigrate to other places to make a living, making it much more difficult for us to build a sustainable economy here in Northern Ireland. NI21 believes in a social market economy. This means that we are pro-business. It means that we believe the tax system should be used to help businesses flourish. But it also means, and this is really important for our partners here in this room today, it also means that the role of the economy is to improve the lives of all the individuals in our society. We have to build an economy which provides everybody with a living wage. You cannot convince the people that politics are a good thing if their living standards continue to fall. But let me make it quite clear. No one will be lifted out of poverty if we do not have a successful, profitable and highly competitive private sector. It is the private sector that creates jobs. It is the SMEs that are the backbone of our economy. It is our entrepreneurs who create wealth and opportunity. But they are not alone. They cannot do it alone. You look at research and development, at skills, at training, at STEM, at all of the educational opportunities. These are the things that create a competitive advantage. And when you consider all of those good things, of course we must maximise them. But we must not abandon the many young people who, for whatever reason, have not been able to gain the necessary skills to survive in a highly competitive world. We owe those people our support also. So how do we go about making a step change in an economy which has underperformed for decades? Well, the first thing is to recognise the obvious. The first thing is to accept that the economic and social problems facing Northern Ireland are not the same as those facing Scotland or Wales or the southeast of England. One size does not fit all. We need economic policies that are specifically designed for Northern Ireland that represents the real challenges that we have to deal with. And we need the tools to implement these policies. And with the pressure on the block grant likely to increase, it is imperative that we develop an effective economic strategy. And the use of appropriate tax regimes are a government's primary means of providing strategic direction, and we desperately need access to those means. So I pledge today that NI21 will pursue the devolution of more powers to the Northern Ireland Assembly, including, but not restricted to, income tax and stamp duty. When I mentioned this to some people, there was a sharp intake of breath. You can't be serious giving income tax powers to the Northern Ireland Assembly. Think about what that means. The prospect of devolving income tax will concentrate the minds of the politicians and the electorate alike. It will provide a transparent link between the pound in your pocket and political decisions. This is normal politics. This is what keeps Brian Hayes awake at night. And this is why I am so pleased that he's going to come and talk to us later on this afternoon. It will be nice to see what life in the real world is like. Of course, the big question arises. If you're going to devolve income tax, are you going to put it up? Or are you going to put it down? So I want to make it quite clear that we're at the start of a discussion on this. Initially, we do not see wholesale changes to the level of income tax, but we are interested in the potential to create a series of carefully targeted measures to support specific objectives that will help the Northern Ireland economy. If we are short of skills, we need to find ways of bringing those with skills that used to come from Northern Ireland to bring them back home. We need to find ways to keep those with skills here. We need to help our economies that are struggling to keep people employed. We need to find ways of incentivising our small businesses to make sure that they do give opportunities to our young people. So there are a range of objectives that we will discuss and we will seek support for. The real question is how to improve a Northern Ireland economy which has been failing for decades, regardless of the spin from the government. Fiscal policy and personal income tax, if deployed in a strategic manner, will close the productivity gap, will alleviate our skill shortages, and will increase our competitiveness. But there is another advantage. Devolving fiscal powers to the Northern Ireland Assembly will make all political parties, and I mean all political parties, more accountable to the local Northern Ireland taxpayer, and it will increase the pressure on all political parties to make Northern Ireland work. That's a good thing. So the third strand of what we want to do in terms of our plan is to change the political structures. My friend and colleague John McAllister will be talking about this in some detail. He's been working on a bill to introduce opposition. Some of it is highly technical, all of it very important. But I want to mention a few things as I see it. Who can look at the Northern Ireland Assembly and not be disappointed? Not disappointed. The debates in the chamber are lacklustre, repetitive, and frankly irrelevant, unless we can talk about orange and green, in which case they're still irrelevant. The real debates are taking place elsewhere, and unless the Assembly can up its game, public support will continue to drain away. Those that look at reviewing the structures in the Northern Ireland Assembly currently think everything is going okay. It is not. The people are fed up with the politicians. The architects of the Good Friday Agreement assumed that the parties of government would act collaboratively for the common good. This sadly has proved not to be the case, which is why we need to change the structures. We as a party have already given a commitment to provide an effective opposition. Today we will go further. We will go further, announcing our desire to see the office of the First and Deputy First Minister renamed to that of the office of Joint First Minister. This is the issue that actually brought John and I together in the first place. The reality is that Martin McGuinness is in all other respects First Minister, in all but name. But at each election, the DUP and Sinn Féin pretend that it isn't. One side says, never mind our policies, never mind our ability, vote for us or Martin McGuinness will be First Minister. And the other side say, never mind our policies, never mind our abilities, never mind our delivery, vote for us, lend us your vote, and we might make Martin McGuinness First Minister. And in actual fact, it's totally irrelevant. They are both First Ministers, and so we should change the name to reflect this reality. At a stroke, we will remove the single most misleading, divisive and sectarian element of our electoral system, and it will allow members of the public to vote for MLAs on merit, not on some sectarian headcount. As I move to the close of this speech, I'm going to talk a little bit about the past. I do not want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the future. But our airwaves, our media, are full of little else, so I must address it. It goes without saying that those individuals that are affected by the Troubles deserve and require individual specific support. But those that argue that we cannot build a future until we have dealt with the past are wrong. If we as a society are forced to relive every act of barbarism, if we continue to report every atrocity as if it happened yesterday, if we continue to open old wounds, if we continue to pick at the scabs of our past, we will never escape our past nor heal our community. It does not matter how balanced the media coverage is. It does not matter how sympathetically a programme is produced. If you report on the Shankill bombing, the Grey Steel massacre and the escape from the maze all in one week, it will have an impact. There will be a reaction and we will all have to deal with the consequences. I believe in a free press. It is not for me to tell the media what to cover or how to cover it. I recognise the challenges presented by a 24/7 media cycle, the preference for easily digested news stories and the temptation to sensationalise any story. But our more serious problems cannot be distilled into 3-minute packages, nor adequately explained by multiple opposing opinions in a studio. They are too complicated, they are too emotional, too difficult to resolve in such a manner. NI21 will not use victims as a political football. It will not help them, and it will not help our society. I told you at the start of the speech that I would finish by explaining why you are the most important person in this room. I recall making a speech regarding equal marriage in the Assembly, in which I said, "I stand alone, if necessary, for all the individuals in our country." Today, I am proud to stand, not alone, but with a party full of individuals, individuals who will make a difference. This morning, you were given a small badge. I want you to have the courage to wear that badge. If you haven't put it on, I want you to put it on. I want you to wear it. And when people ask you what it means, I want you to tell them about NI21. Change can only be achieved by people talking. I want you to talk to your families. I want you to talk to your friends. I want you to have the quiet conversations that change people's minds. And when you do, keep in mind the words of one of Ireland's greatest poets. Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. The Second Coming, by W.B. Yeats, published in 1921, a year of some significance to Ireland North and South. A Protestant brought up in Dublin, reflecting on the turmoil of his age, the lines mean he predicted the loss of order and the eventual destruction of society by the fanatics of the day. His phrase, "the best lack all conviction, is an attack on the apathy of the most able in our society, while the worst are full of passionate intensity, is self-explanatory. His poem is not without relevance to Northern Ireland today. You can change this. You can speak to the apathetic. You must challenge those who do not vote. I want you to leave this conference with the courage to speak out, the conviction to stand up for what you believe, and a commitment to build a better Northern Ireland. The future of Northern Ireland is in your hands. The centre must hold." Come on up. Come
on. Well, I can give you a kiss.
Well done.
Do a wave. I think you should do a wave.
Oh, what a...